It's a wonderful place. It's just a place that everybody must see before they die.
Hello and welcome to KrugerToCanyons.com, the South African bush done properly. My name is Adam Larking. In this podcast, Kruger to Canyons' David Manton will be visiting the Makalaki Concession, also known as the Pafuri region. We'll hear a little about the history of the area and why it's a great example of restitution in South Africa, as he talks to staff of the outpost and Pafuri camp about the sort of amazing experiences you'll have when you ask Kruger to Canyons to devise your safari itinerary. The Makalaki Concession is the largest private concession in the Kruger National Park. It lies in the northeasternmost part of South Africa and straddles into Zimbabwe and Mozambique. The area is about 240 square kilometres in size, and it lies on a wedge of land caused by the confluence of the Limpopo and the Luvuvu rivers. Luckily for visitors to the region, it acts as a natural north-south choke point for wildlife traffic crossing the area, which means you're in for some excellent wildlife spotting. The Makalaki Concession also has an interesting history of late and currently serves as a shining example of restitution between the South African government and the Makalaki people. Thomas Ndobe, Makalaki himself, talked to Kruger to Canyons' David Manton at the Outpost, one of only two commercial lodges in the area, to tell us more about the recent history of the Makalaki Concession.
This is a groundbreaking area of the Kruger National Park, and indeed in South Africa, because of the restitution Makalaki. Tell us a bit about the history of this concession and how it came about, why it's a special place.
The history around the area, it's very simple that the Makalakis lived and managed this area for over 300 years, and they've been living very well with each other and with their neighboring villages from Zimbabwe and Mozambique. During that time, they didn't know anything about borders, so they didn't even know whether they were South African or Zimbabwean or Mozambicans. And obviously, they just thought it's just neighbors. So they lived very well and they lived on hunting. But that was changed into poaching because of the Kruger National Park extended the fences up to this far. They're usually known to be hunters, living on hunting, fishing, but very lovely people. Until 1964, where the government decided to put a road, the tar road that cuts through the Kruger National Park, up to Pafuri. They slowly came, like every year, trying to move the people away, coming with all lots of different reasons. I can remember when they were supposed to be moved here because they were told that the cattle that they own will transmit foot and mouth diseases to the buffaloes of the park. So they came and shot all the cars and all animals with the same hooves, except for the donkeys. And most of our families, our relatives, fleeing to the neighboring country, Zimbabwe or Mozambique, living there enough just to make sure that when this thing starts, they're out of the place and moving all their livestock to the other side. But in 1969, the government decided to come with all these trucks and obviously police with all the guns, and they forcibly removed everybody at gunpoint, like robbing you of your place. So that's what they did.
We'll hear more from Thomas's interview with David at the Outpost later. While we're learning a bit about the history of the concession, let's find out a bit more about the Outpost itself and the beauty surrounding it. While he was there, David also spoke to Alex Johnston, co-manager of the Outpost, to try and understand why the lodge and Pafuri were so unique.
Okay, at the Outpost, what I think we offer for the industry uniquely is a remote destination where you can just do as little or as much as you want. The rooms are designed to just really chill out and relax and enjoy the nature really being in your room. You're so open to what's out there that you can just actually sit in your room and enjoy what Africa has to offer without actually having to get on a vehicle. Yeah, and the landscape is just phenomenal. You've got amazing gorges, beautiful floodplains, and vistas that are endless.
So we're sat on a balcony overlooking the Luvuvu River, massive, open, undulating plain rising up to, a forested crest. And the special thing about these rooms is they really do open to the skies. Tell us about the design of the room and why it's an inspirational place to just spend some time.
When you arrive at the room, it's just a plain concrete wall. And as soon as you open the door, the room opens out into the bush, and you forget all that's in the room, and you just focus on what's out there. And that's what it's all about. It's kept very simply. There's straight lines, very little fuss within the rooms, because it's about what's out there. And there's no windows or walls to stop your eye just going out and travelling and looking into Mozambique, looking into the Kruger Main. You can sit in your bed or lie on the couch and just contemplate all about life, as I think I'm doing now.
Kruger to Kenyans design their safari itineraries using their experienced guides and the expertise of those that live in and love the areas to which you'll be taken. As well as the outpost, the other luxury lodge in that concession is called Pafuri Camp, and both of these are featured in Kruger to Kenyans' offering. For such special places, it's highly recommended that you take in both lodges during your stay in South Africa, if budget and time permits. And by the end of this podcast, hopefully you'll understand why.
I've just arrived at Pafuri Main Camp, having driven down from the outpost. About an hour or so. Elephants, kudu, baboons, vivid monkeys just here. Nyala, all very pretty. I'm walking down towards the reception of the main camp. Lovely drive along the edge of the river here. And let's see what we see. Up a wooden bridge.
David, sorry I'm later than advertised.
That's fine, my name's Hanel. Pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
What a beautiful spot. How are you doing?
No, good. What I'm going to do is just quickly tell you more about our camp, check-in procedures, blah, 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 and then I'll take your computer and then you can just relax and sit
there.
Luggage and your vehicle?
Yeah.
David Manton there being met at Pafuri Camp by General Manager Hanel Devet. We'll hear more from Hanel later. Here's Thomas Ndobe again.
We had an opportunity because the government introduced the land restitution program and the land claim issues started. And the Makulege people were the first in the country to launch the claim. They managed to identify how big the area is and where exactly the borders were. So they had concrete evidence of the ownership of the land and how big it was and everything. So that was the first claim that was actually happened to be successful in the whole country.
After the gentle and relaxed checking in procedure, Hanel talks David through some lodge basics.
Beautiful spot.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
What happens now, 7:30 we'll serve dinner, so as I said, the bar is open.
Mm-hmm.
You can come and have a drink here or join him later, and then we've put you with the guide Godfrey and his guest. You'll meet him tonight, and then tomorrow morning he'll wake you up at 5:30.
Great.
And then 6:00 come join us here for coffee and tea on the main deck, and then game draft, and then come back for 10:30 brunch. So that's your program, and then just the camp is basically the same as the outpost. There's no fences around, so lots of elephants around. So when you walk around, just be careful. Your room is overlooking the river, so you might be able to sit on your veranda and watch them coming down to drink just now. Who knows?
after handing over, we had an agreement as the community that we can only get this land back if we agree that we will use it for conservation purposes and not to come back and live here or use it for agricultural or mining purposes or anything like that. And obviously that was one of the bases that we accepted the land. Just to try and find out from the community people what they wanted. A survey was made and it showed that young people, youth of the community, don't like the idea of coming to live here, and they would like this place to be used for job creation and to help the community in other ways.
My name is Godfrey Baloyi. I'm a guide here in Pafori Camp, Wilderness Safaris.
How long have you been at Pafori Camp?
I've been here for 3 years now. It's the only area where I worked so far, yeah.
Where were you born?
Yeah, in the community where we stay now, at Makuleke, where our parents were removed to, just outside the park.
So tell us about Pafori Camp. Why is it a special place?
No, it's also special because, I mean, you have seen that it's so beautiful, the scenery is beautiful, and then, the birds, I know lots of birds here, and then if you go, I mean, Vuvu East and West, I mean, the scenery is absolutely beautiful, the river run area, big trees, and then, of course, we have game also, I mean, lots of elephants, buffaloes, and then, yeah.
Is this good. An area where you'd come to see the Big Five?
We offer so many things, not only the Big Five. Trees, bears, insects, whatever.
And what are some of the special things in this concession area?
You know, the Fever Tree Forest is absolutely beautiful. I'm telling you, you can go anywhere else in the park, you never find that forest like this. It's so beautiful. And the baobabs, we've got the big one, which is about 3.5 thousand years old. Crook's Corner there, that's the boundary between the three countries, Mozambique, South Africa, and Zimbabwe. It's absolutely beautiful. Lena Gorge on the west, beautiful. The flat plains, the Lala Palm Forest, so beautiful. So, it's such a beautiful area.
Godfrey Baloyi there, talking about the abundance of scenery and game available to experience at Pafori, including the 3,500-year-old baobab tree, the historic Crook's Corner, the beautiful Lanna Gorge, and the Fever Tree Forest. And talking of special sightings...
I'm now sat in my room at Pafori Main Camp, sat on the Lavuvu River. And I joke you not, through a thin, transparent fabric wall, about 3.5 meters away from me, there's a large bull elephant feasting. It's just ripped a branch down, and from the tree, off it comes, there. And he's actually pulled it down onto the cushions on the little secluded deck area outside the rim. Happily feeding away, doesn't seem too bothered by me. Obviously, I've retreated into my room and pulled the doors closed. This is a big animal.
And with these rooms open to the African stars and skies at night, it's striking quite how much noise and activity there is.
Mm. Now, I think with the openness of the rooms, you all your senses are being used.
Alex Johnston from the outpost again.
You hear everything that goes on out there. It seems like it's right under your room, but usually it's right down in the riverbed. But it's wonderful. And then you hear everything, you smell everything. If the elephants are close by, you get to experience them that way as well. So it's a full-on senses experience.
And what kind of activity do you see on the plains below us?
Oh, we're constantly seeing impala and nyala, baboons always doing their thing. Particularly this time of year in the winter, we see the buffalo and the elephant coming through, elephants crossing into Kruger Main and doing their journeys. And then in the evenings, not that we see them so much from the rooms, but we hear the hyenas calling, and we have a resident leopard that comes through and does his rasping, which is nice.
The Outpost and Pafuri Camp have excellent reputations for making their guests feel special in this most special of places. Hanel De Vet, who welcomed David to Pafuri Camp when he arrived, spoke to David about the lodge.
Describe Pafuri Camp for the benefit of the listener.
Pafuri Camp is a tented camp situated in the most northern region of the Kruger National Park. It's situated on the banks of the Luvuvi River. It forms part of the Makuleki concession, which belongs to the Makuleki people living outside the Punda Maria Gate. Pafuri Camp is a tented camp consisting of 20 units, six of which are family units, so the camp can accommodate families. It's children friendly. Any kids from the age 4 years and up can come to the camp, and we do special activities with them.
Tell us about the special activities for kids. What do you get up to?
Any kids that arrive at the camp, we'll, judging on their ages, either give them a colouring book or an activity book to keep them busy in the daytime. Going out on safari with the guides do a bit of extra effort with them, showing them tracks, teaching them about the bush, you know, little things that they don't always know just by reading books. And then they will also spend some time with them in the camp, helping them to collect dung samples, you know, identifying that, make clay figures in the camp, paint them. Sometimes we have kids' dinners where we just, you know, instead of having the normal starters and main course and dessert, we just do hamburgers and chips and marshmallows around the fire, and then we sit and we tell stories around the fire. So that's any child's dream.
So parents can expect to potentially have a bit of a relax if they bring their kids here?
Most definitely, yes. We try and take them off their hands if they so wish. Sometimes the kids prefer to stay by their parents and read a book or something, but if they want to play around, there's more than enough of us that's willing to babysit and play along.
It's kind of getting towards sunset, half light. It's probably 5:30 or so, late afternoon. So I'm going to have some difficulty, if this chap doesn't move, getting into the main lodge to go and have some dinner. Having pulled this branch down, he is making a good fist of eating what there is there, so it may be that he's set in for some time. Doesn't appear to be in a rush for anything.
And how does the community benefit from people coming to visit?
Yeah, they benefit. I believe the community gets about 10% of the turnover, if not mistaken.
Godfrey Baloy again.
And also, not only that, the community is benefiting because most of the people who work here are from the community. I can say about 90% of the staff members who work here now is from the community.
And what is that money used for?
It's used for different things. Now we have built a school in one of the villages in the community, and then we have electrified the community, and then which is good. And now I believe the committee that we have chosen is busy planning on something else now.
Wonderful.
So not only a forced removal, but also a total change of lifestyle.
Yeah, the lifestyle have changed completely.
Thomas Ndobe.
If you look now, we have like roads, infrastructure, we have everything like water, sanitation. We have electricity, which wasn't here. And obviously the lifestyle has changed completely. Yeah.
So is the community happy with the way in which the land is being used now?
I believe so. Well, obviously not satisfying everybody, but it actually helped a lot, developed the community. The Makuleki community is consisted of three small villages, and in these three villages, the community has managed to get Eskom, the electricity company, to come and electrify the whole community and put street lights. And we have managed to build high school, primary school, Fansted, and I mean, it's beautiful. You can see how productive it has been and what we have got from this area. So I think that, yes, the community is quite happy about what we're getting. It's just that it's just a big community. You cannot satisfy everybody.
Has the reputation of being a birder's paradise. Tell us a bit about the special birds in this area.
Yeah, you know, we've got the purse fishing owl, we've got the racketeer roller, we've got the lemon-breasted canary, you have got the grey headed parrot, we also have got the honor's chat, we've got the Dixon crestel, we've got so many things there, you know, the leopard face vulture, the saddle-billed stork, you know, the crown eagle, the martial eagles, too. I know we've got so many birds and lots of migrants of the summer visitors. We're waiting for them to come now.
For example?
The woodland kingfisher, the European bee eater, the common bee eaters, you know, the cuckoos, the classic cuckoo, the red chested cuckoo, the chocolate.
And how does this area compare for birding with the rest of the Kruger?
We in this area we have recorded up to 450 species of birds. So to me, by far, we have got so many birds here. And then I can tell you what, about a week ago there was an arena trogon right here in the main area on top of the Jackalberry here, and people loved it. It's just such a beautiful bird. It's also a rare one, the arena trogon. So you know, I mean, so far I think we are number one birding spot in the Kruger Park.
And I understand some evenings there's a bit of choral entertainment. Tell us about the choir.
Yes, Bafuri has got a fantastic choir. It's headed up by Godfrey. They basically will come through most of the times, try and keep it as a surprise for the guests. If it's on request, obviously some people know, but most of them surprise the guests by having the singing voices appear from somewhere, and they'll entertain the guests with five or six songs and some traditional dancing, where the ladies wear their traditional skirts and, you know, dance around the deck to cause a bit of laughter amongst the guests, you know, just by watching them.
And talk about what makes this a special part of the Kruger from a conservation perspective, the bird life, the trees, the water.
There's absolutely nothing like this inside the Kruger National Park all the way down south. I mean, if you look here, we have these little mountainous areas, which is like having very beautiful vegetation, and most of which is very rare, only found in this area. And we do have a river that flows throughout the year, Livubu River, that makes the confluence into the Limpopo River, which is obviously the border between South Africa and Zimbabwe. And because of that, it's just a bird paradise. In our summer, you walk through the river, you hear the sounds of beautiful birds. If you're a birder, this is a place for you. Because, I mean, we do have lots of other things that you don't really find anywhere else. Like baobab trees. I mean, you stand here and see how many baobab trees that you can see here. And lots of more other trees and fauna and flora of this area. It's just amazing. The vegetation is completely different from everywhere. I mean, we have the fever tree forest. We have everything you can think of in the reserve. It's all in 125,000 hectares. Yeah.
In terms of animals, game, scenery. What I expect to see here? Is this a Big Five area?
This is definitely Big Five area, but we specialize in birds as well up here. The Porphyry region, the whole region has got 85% of the Kruger National Park's diversity, biodiversity up here. So vegetation wise, it varies all the time. No area is ever the same when you drive around. So we've got access to areas like Lanna Gorge, which is not accessible to the private visitor to the park. It's only for our guests. And then also, as I said, bird love is prolific around here. There's people coming here just to come and do birds. We've got our Pal's fishing owl, which is a big bird on a lot of the birders' checklist to come and have a look. And we've got areas which we know to find them early evenings. And sometimes, some times of the year, we have the Pal's fishing owl sitting in front of the camp during dinner just to, you know, entertain our guests. But yeah, Big Five also around. We see cats, we have a lot of elephant sightings, buffalo sightings. The big herds move in and through the property all the time. And then the rhinos have been reintroduced a couple of years ago. We've got five of them on the property, and we've got a tracker who does the monitoring of them to see what their whereabouts are like. And guests are more than welcome to book a walk, a morning walk, to go and try and find these animals.
You're listening to Kruger to Canyons and David Manton talking to people working in the Makalaki concession who will make your safari an unforgettable experience. We're in the furthest northern part of the Kruger National Park called Porphyry, and David has taken us to the outpost and to Porphyry Camp. Earlier, we found him unable to leave his room on the bank of the Luvuvu River as a male elephant had decided to strip the tree right next to his room while a female elephant watched.
There's low, guttural rumbles coming from the other side of the river. Elephant form of communication. I think this cow on the other side was announcing her intention to move on, which she's now doing, walking up the bank, taking presumably her calf with her. But this big fella is showing absolutely no propensity to move. He's happy as, an elephant in the Luvuvu River system. A fantastic sight. You can count the wrinkles on his trunk. He's that close. Crack of a tree going over on the other side. The female elephant is now disappearing into the quite dense riparian vegetation on the other side. I've seen a lot of game from my room and in the camp. There was an elephant stopped me going to dinner on time last night. I saw civet, I saw genet. We're obviously unfenced. What kind of animals pass through camp here?
There are lots of animals passing, you know, lions also. The other day we saw some lions in front of the camp. And one day I was out for afternoon drive, and then they called me to come back, and there was a lion in Nyari Boma where we had dinner last night. You know, it was it was fantastic. And now there's this leopard walking on the boardwalk, on top of the boardwalk every night. So, you know, so sometimes when I wake up in the morning and I walk, there will see tracks on the boardwalk, so which is fantastic. Yeah.
What animal sightings will you remember?
Well, I've seen quite a few animals here. I've seen all the rhino, I saw the lions, I saw the leopard, I saw, elephants every day. But I remember I saw a leopard sighting, which was, I still remember that. It was like the amazing sighting I've ever seen of the leopard. The leopard had jumped up from the tree and just landed like in front of our vehicle and just sit there. And we watched this thing until we think it's enough, and it didn't even go anywhere. So, yeah, we've seen quite a few, but I mean, leopard, the best.
So there are lots of things coming here, in the, especially in the river, coming to drink. The other day we witnessed three lions in the river in the morning. There was a bush buck inside the river, they're drinking. And then, you know, that bush buck couldn't understand what's going on. He thought maybe there were some crocs in the water, but he managed to escape. And then hopefully he told everybody around dinner at night, you know, just imagine the bush buck telling his family, oh guys, there was a three lions there, there were crocs, you know, I was in the middle of the river on the island, and then but I managed to escape. Just imagine, that was so fantastic. And today now people saw the pythons here in front of the camp. I mean, this is good, it's great.
How big was that python?
Oh, it was bigger. It was bigger, I guess up to 5 meters big. There were two of them and the baby one.
So what would a 5 meter python eat?
Oh, they can eat impala, they can eat bushbuck, baby bushbuck, and yeah, they can eat big stuff, eh? Yeah, but even you.
Oh, don't feed me to the python, man. So how often do they need to eat?
Yeah, once they eat maybe an impala, they can spend up to a year without eating, eh? Yeah, they can spend up to that period, yeah. It depends on the size of the prey they get, yeah. If they get a big one, they can spend a year without it.
Amazing.
Tell us about the solitude aspect of this place.
Yeah, we're very privileged to be in such an area where there's very few operators. There's only us and wilderness and eco training. And the size of the area and the concentration of vehicles, shall we say, is very low. We have guests that we have for maybe 3 or 4 days and they won't see another vehicle. So it's literally you and your guide out there exploring this area that seems as if no one else has been there. In fact, the wonderful thing we find as well, the animals, although they're relaxed, have that edge on them because they're not that used to vehicles all the time. So they won't run away immediately, but they're not going to hang around and wait as if they've seen you every day, every hour for the last 20 years. There's that feeling of wilderness still on your drive, you're the first explorers. Yeah.
And walking in this place?
Oh, well, walking's amazing here. Because the road network isn't extensive, it really lends itself to wonderful wilderness walks where you're following elephant trails and game trails and just interpreting what's gone before you and following what you can along the way. Particularly down by the river, it's great to a great way to see the birds, what we have here, as well as, well, they came across leopard the other day, and always the Ellie's come down for a drink, so that's always fun.
What have you seen that you'll take to your grave?
Well, I mean, obviously everybody will tell you about Lona Gorge. I mean, that's an amazing gorge. I mean, people have been traveling around the world, around the Kruger Park, around South Africa, everywhere. I mean, there's beautiful places we can always go, but I mean, coming here and be at Lona Gorge, it's a wonderful place. It's just a place that everybody must see before they die. I like Lona Gorge. Crook's Corner is very historic, very historic. If you go there, not only because it's a confluence between the two rivers, it's also a midsection between three countries. It's very historic. When you get there, there's crocodiles, there's hippos most of the time because of the water is always there. And if you hear of what's happening around that area, what happened before the removal and everything, it's very interesting to be there, to be able to overlook the other side and see Zimbabwe and overlook the other side and see Mozambique. It's a very nice place. But I mean, we have the place called Mangala Plains. It's just amazing places. You just stand in one place and see wonderful things. So yeah, I mean, there's quite a few spots and quite a few areas in this area. You don't have to go there because you might think of getting an animal, but just looking at the area only, it's just amazing, it's beautiful.
There's a 180 degree view of what? Describe what we're looking at.
Okay, we have scrubby Mopani bushveld, and then we're looking out over the Luvuvu Valley. So you've got some acacia trees down by the river. The landscape is studded with baobabs throughout. At the moment, there's no leaves, so they stand up like soldiers amongst the landscape. Further on, you've got the beginning of the Lobombo Mountains, and the far blue mountains is Mozambique. And yeah, no, it's endless.
And then cutting through the edge of the concession, there's the...
It's the Luvuvu River. It's our boundary with the Kruger Main, and our concession runs from the Luvuvu up to the Limpopo. And we're on the bottom corner. We've got a beautiful confluence just to the right of us here, where the Mutali River and the Luvuvu meet. And the Luvuvu flows through until it joins up with the Limpopo. There's water here throughout the year, which helps the birds, the elephants. We often see elephants coming down to drink, particularly this time of year, as well as buffalo. It's a great nesting site for birds during the summer. And yeah, some of the rooms you can see the river. This particular room we can't, but you can see where it dips off down to it. But further up, what's wonderful is that you can watch the birds using the river for their fishing. Maybe the fish eagle flies beneath you, or the kingfishers and things.
There is this one here. I was going to the Lena Gorge one day, and then it was in April, and that's the time where the elephants start to come back. So because in summer they go away and come back in winter, so they start to come back in April. So this big bull elephant was in mast, and then unfortunately just knocked the tree down and blocked the road, so we had to stop. And we stopped there, and then he came, and then he put a trunk on top of a car in front of the car there. And then I had 4 guests from England, and then I told them not to move, no camera, no flashlight, just remain seated and keep quiet. And then later on, after 5 minutes, he walked and stand right next to me, to my door, and I look at him, you know, it was so good, it was, but I tell you what, I was little bit nervous, just to tell you the honest fact. Yes, but it was a great experience. And then after 3 minutes, he left us alone. And then when I look back, all of my guests were under the seat. I said, I told you not to move.
Outrageous. It must have been a very long 3 minutes.
It was long.
Yeah. Outrageous. Godfrey, thank you very much for guiding me. I've had a very pleasant morning drive. What fantastic scenery in which to relax.
Okay.
And you did very well, despite the fact it's a horrible, wintry day today.
It was windy, and all the animals were taking cover, hiding there, sleeping in, so to say.
Well, it's 1:30 in the afternoon, and you still have your woolly hat on.
Yes, definitely.
Outrageous. Good.
Okay,
good.
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Thank you.
Godfrey Baloyi talking to David Manton there. You also heard Thomas Ndobe, who since his interview has been promoted to General Manager of the Outpost. You heard Alex Johnston. You heard Hanel Devet. And you heard the music of John Chawuke. Thank you to all. And please get in touch with Kruger to Canyons to discuss your safari plans and your ideas. My name is Adam Larking, and thank you for listening.
This podcast was brought to you by Little Smasher.com.